Welcome to the Dog Classroom,
the Dog Classroom podcast. I am your co-host, Anne Marie.
And I'm your co-host, Amelia.
Like and subscribe
on Spotify and YouTube in video format. And now into the episode.
Here we go.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to this week's episode where we are going to talk all about puppies.
Puppies 101.
Puppies 101. This has so much to cover that we couldn't possibly cover all in one episode, but we're going to do our very best to get some of the bigger points out there.
Yeah, because we both teach puppy school and it's 4 weeks. And I find sometimes with the questions, even getting some of the answers in there. So this actually might be an option to get people to refer to too.
Yeah. And then we can sort of have it as like a frequently asked questions. So to start, we want to touch just briefly on before you bring the puppy home.
Right.
So,
The interesting thing is when Amelia actually and myself, we asked people for different topics. And a lot of people said, you know, how to pick a puppy, you know, bringing them home. But the interesting thing is we only hear from people when they already have the puppy.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. So maybe we need, I don't know, I don't want to say make it clear, but, you know, we're also there to help guide you and sort of ask the questions and almost a little bit of food for thought.
Yeah.
So this is sort of what this is about too. But I would say, you know, again, it's about lifestyle. And, you know, we say that with whether you're bringing in an adult dog or whether or not. But be aware of, like, innate behaviors of the dog.
Yeah. Right? So, I mean, you're not going to get a herding breed and expect it not to herd, you know, that sort of thing.
Or think it's going to live in, you know, downtown in the city. Like, you really have to be fair both ways and allow them to be who they were bred to be, but then also complement your lifestyle as well.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think so, nature versus nurture could be an entire episode on its own.
Right.
But, you know, it comes down to, like you said, being fair and, you know,
realistic.
Yeah, realistic.
Yeah.
So making sure that you pick the puppy that's right for you. So let's just assume now for the purposes of the episode, we've picked the puppy. We're ready to go.
Okay, one thing just to throw in there, you know, you have breeders, you have purebred dogs, you have registered breeders, and then you have rescues, and then you have whoopses.
And you have mixed breed.
Yeah, mixed breeds is usually whoopses. But anyway, just, you know, they're all very cute when they're puppies, absolutely. But just instead of just focusing on the puppy stage, you know, look at as that dog grows over the next 10, 12, 14 years, how is it going to complement and will it work for you? Just don't focus on that puppy stage.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I hear a lot from people too is I want to get a puppy so I can train it right from the start. But a lot of people don't know how to do that. Right?
Yeah.
You think you do. But so we're going to talk about some of that stuff today, like how to properly socialize a puppy and and all those things.
Okay.
So
we got the puppy.
We got the puppy.
Okay.
We're prepping the house.
Okay.
So one of the things that I really liked that was on our YouTube channel, that Trainer Mike did a puppy, some kind of puppy prep Facebook Live.
Yeah, I think that was all. Was that once he got Augie or before?
That was once he got Augie.
Okay.
And in there, he talked about a puppy den area.
Yeah.
And so I really like that concept of you bring the puppy home and you don't let the puppy go like free roam in the house, right? So you want to have baby gates.
Like all rooms, both floors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when we get, say, baby gates too, like a lot of people worry that they're going to have to attach all these gates to the wall. Mm-hmm. If you get the nice extra long ones, you can bend them in different shapes and then you just sort of place them in the doorways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you have your X pens, you have baby gates, you have, you know, puppy proofed in general, your wires are away. You want to make sure
that,
especially if there's going to be an area where they are when they're alone.
Yep.
So when you go to work or when you're sleeping or whatever, either a kennel or a puppy proofed area.
Yeah.
And that's sort of their area and that's their default and their toys are in there and all their stuff is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come out when you can be actively supervising them.
And that in not fast forward into house training makes house training a lot more efficient.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I also think it just teaches them sort of how to safely live in the house, right? And we're not allowing them to make all these mistakes and chew the furniture and, you know, swallow something that's not safe because they don't have that opportunity.
Well, or they're in one room, we're in the other, we're trying to get something done, we're following the puppy around. Yeah. But that's where, you know, we basically say as puppies, if you can't be focused on them, then either block them in the same room as you or put them in the safe place.
Exactly. So you're just supervising them. I think when you think about getting your house ready for the puppy, you might need to buy a kennel. You might need to buy some of these things that we're talking about. You might need to buy some chewies so that they're already sort of there when the puppy gets there, so they have appropriate things to chew. And then you also might want to buy, like if you're thinking about things that you can use for enrichment, some of their food toys, so different things to keep the puppy sort of entertained.
Yes.
So once you're sort of ready and you're bringing the puppy home, why don't we talk about potty training? Because that's always a big one.
Okay. So first of all, I'm just looking at Amelia and I can see Tulip or Nuggy, like 1 to 2 pound chihuahuas in the middle of winter. Yeah. And I'm thinking, huh, not the best time to get a little dog.
Which we did. Well, I did. Yeah.
But as far as house training, we want to set them up for success. Mm-hmm. I personally do not like pee pads.
I don't either. I did use them, though.
I find that they're not extremely efficient. It's hit or miss. But long term, then the puppy is more likely to pee on area rugs because it is a texture thing.
Yeah, that's our problem now.
Yeah. So I suggest just start taking them out, take them out the same door. I always say, do you have to go outside? And then I try to put the peeing on cue. So I say, do you need to go pee outside to pee? Going with them is huge. Don't expect a puppy to go out by themselves and pee because they're going to run right back in and look at you and then possibly pee on the floor.
Yeah.
The other thing is you're not even waiting for signs at puppyhood. Like as soon as they wake up, as soon as they have a drink of water after a big play, right? Or minimal half an hour, 45 minutes, you're going out. So you're going in and out.
You set the timer on your phone, you set it on the stove, whatever, and you have to take them out because they don't know how to give you those signs yet, right?
So. And then bringing them to the same area, and I was always treating my dog outside.
I think that's a piece that people miss is they treat the dog when they come inside.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. You've missed it. You need to be there, and you don't want to interrupt them. But as soon as they're finishing, you want to go, right? Mark it and reward it.
Yeah.
And that piece is missed when you wait until the puppy comes inside.
And then the other thing I find is some puppies like to pee multiple times. Mm-hmm. So maybe don't rush them back inside because a lot of people say, well, they just peed outside. I bring them in, they pee again. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously they weren't finished. So maybe just let them move around a little bit. And if we're talking wintertime, yes, you got to shovel an area. They're not going to go through big mounds of snow, so you have to shovel it. I swear by, I have straw outside the door for Tulip so she doesn't freeze her feet.
Yeah.
You know, even, I don't want to say litter training them, but it's sort of that idea is just going out to a certain spot that they're able to go to the washroom and they find, like, desirable, I guess.
Yeah, and I think with the potty training, when they're outside is even if you have a fenced yard, I recommend that they bring the puppy out on leash sometimes because I have heard so many times my puppy will not pee on a walk. My puppy won't pee when we go to, you know, we're on a road trip, we're driving, we have to get out and the puppy's on leash.
Because they're not used to peeing on leash. But the other thing too is again, depending upon the time of year, some puppies will just run and chase bugs and eat grass and not sort of like get her done, right? So to me, it's once puppy pees, they can go off leash or whatever and then go chase the bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think all of those are good points about potty training.
Okay.
The other thing that I always like to say is if they do have an accident, or rather when they do have an accident, first of all, their bladder is very small, right?
They can't hold it. They physically cannot hold it.
They can't. It's not a spiteful thing. No. But if you punish your puppy when they come in, if you yell at your puppy or you spray them with water or whatever, they're going to learn to hide from you better.
Yeah. So they'll just go in another room or in the basement and go. Usually I say if they have an accident in the house, that's your fault.
It is, right?
Yeah, you, for I not saw watching.
A meme mm-hmm. online, you take the newspaper, you roll it up, and you hit yourself with it and say, bad owner. But I think because people think they want to show the puppy that it was wrong, but what they're actually showing the puppy is just that you're a little bit weird and unpredictable. Yeah. And I'm not going to potty in front of you. So you go outside and you have them on leash and they won't go in front of you.
No, because they're scared to be, to go in front of you. They're not relaxed.
And I think it's important. Like puppies don't want to pee in their space. They don't want mess. Right. No. And you'll see.
The majority of them want to be clean. Yeah. Like
they have a separate area where they do
that. Right. So if, again, that's a sign of a good breeder that kept the puppy and the puppy box and mom kept everything nice and clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So any other thoughts on house training, potty training?
I think that's a good start.
Yeah.
I think there's always, I don't want to say it's more complicated, but it depends on every dog. But I just, and don't expect it to be done in 2 days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially with our small breeds.
Yeah. I find 2-3 weeks-ish. Sometimes the change in seasons, they might regress a little bit, but you just have to be on top of it. And it is part of getting a puppy.
It is, right? Yeah, it's just absolutely. Like with children and potty training, right?
You
can't just expect them to know. They need developmentally, right? They need that time. Yeah. So for more on house training, we actually have an ebook that I made.
Okay.
And house training is one of the things that's covered in it. So it's on our website. If you go onto our Puppy Play School page, there's a little link there and you can type in your email address and it will send you the Puppy 101 ebook.
Okay.
So most of this stuff is going to be covered in there. So I'm sure I'll reference it again. But
okay.
Basically, with potty training, it just takes time, right?
Yep.
Time and repetition. So why don't we go on to a bigger topic, socialization.
Right. And the thing is, I'm actually starting to write I've started writing my article today for the newspaper. But we're going to talk about more beginnings of socialization. Like we can again do probably 4 podcasts on socialization and different senses. And like it's a whole world for dogs, right?
Yeah, just the basics.
Yeah. Today. So just the basics, different types of people, different ages of people, kids for sure.
Yes.
Different ages of kids because they look and smell different.
Well, we did the podcast, right? Toddlers are different
than teenagers. Yeah, we did. Yes, we did. Other dogs, shapes and sizes. I just remember the first time Maui saw a Great Dane, he was rather confused.
Or when Stark saw a Frenchie, he did not like the little face.
The face? He was concerned. Oh, and one time, in puppy school, the other puppies were concerned because the Frenchie was snorting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the sounds.
Yeah. Wasn't sure it was actually a dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At that point. But let's go into a little bit of sounds and changing in environment. And, you know, I have a tendency to laugh as if puppies were in winter, they don't know what grass is.
Yeah.
Right? When we go to spring, they don't know what bikes are. They don't know what rollerblades are. So when living in Thunder Bay, we're very seasoned oriented. And we just don't have like one season.
Right.
You know, throughout the year. So, you know, we are talking about environment, noises. We try and do it in puppy school, though. I keep telling myself we need to do it more, but traffic sounds.
The vacuum.
Thunderstorms.
Fireworks.
Yeah. Fireworks. One thing about fireworks, guys, don't bring them down to the beach when they're letting off fireworks. Yeah. Just remember that their sound is way more sensitive. Well,
there's socialization and there's flooding, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a whole topic that, you know, when you're doing socialization, the important thing is that it's a positive experience, right?
Okay. I'm glad you said that because I really wanted to get there and say if your puppy's, you know, like shaking in the corner, you're not going to keep exposing this. It has to be little bits at a time. But if it's like a note to self where this weekend, okay, I'm going to go to 2 new places or something and feed my dog some treats, or today I'm going to put on some music, or I'm going to just play a few thunderstorms in the background or something. So I just remember when I went and did noise therapy consult, and we were talking about the different levels of music and stuff. So it's not like we have to play at maximum the sounds, but, you know, construction noises, heavy trucks, motorcycles, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so all of those things are important. And I think when a lot of people think socialization, they say, well, I have a dog at home.
Yes.
And they think that is all you need for socialization. You have a dog at home or you have kids.
Yeah.
And I like your example that you use where your kids aren't socialized because they have a brother or sister.
Yeah, where obviously our kids go to school or, you know, have that relationships with other children and not, we never, I have to say, me, myself as a parent have never thought, you know, that my kids had to meet anyone else but themselves. Obviously they do to socialize. So it's the same thing because, you know, we'll comment on socialization and the owners are like, well, we have another dog at home. And it's like, that dog does not represent
all
the breeds, all the behaviors.
And it's in one place, right?
All the sizes. Home. Yeah, where they're comfortable.
So definitely socialization to dogs is important. And it's also important that it's done well. You don't want your puppy to get bulldozed by larger dogs. You don't want them to get attacked. You have to make sure it's that positive experience. Otherwise, you are doing the opposite of what you wanted to do. And then the other thing, too, like you said, was different experiences. So let's say you get a puppy in winter and you know that you like kayaking. I'm going to take out a wobble board and I'm going to get the dog used to movement. Or, you know, you really
take them in the boat.
Yeah. You want to go swimming. Like maybe you'll fill up a little bit of water in the bathtub and let them splash around. Like there's things that we can do to adapt. Anything that you want your puppy to do as an adult, basically you need to expose them in those first 16 weeks or so.
Yeah. And I think the reason why we're talking about socialization in puppy is you don't want to wait.
Yeah. And a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, I want to wait till they have their rabies vaccine. Well, you know, if that's at 16 weeks, you've missed the developmental stage that they're able to experience socialization in the proper term, right? There's always socialization, like remedial socialization, where you can help get used to things throughout their life.
Yes.
But the true socialization period in their brain is very short. It's from, I think, 7 to... They say 12 weeks-ish, but...
12 to 14-ish,
14, yeah. So if you wait until your dog is, you know, a little bit older or whatever, you've missed that.
Right.
So I think it's really
not to say
important.
You can't, say, make up on it. We're just trying to encourage you to start. And we're not jeopardizing the health of the puppy as far as vaccines, but there are stuff that, you know, you can socialize by taking them for a drive.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the vaccines, let's talk about really quickly our puppy play school program.
Okay.
Because that's something that I get a question about a lot. So I usually refer to you being the vet tech.
Okay.
But my understanding is that it's not the number of vaccines. It's when they had it. Right.
Yeah. Because it, you know, whether you're getting a rescue, whether the breeder got the vaccines, whether you guys are getting them first, like it's usually breeders will give the vaccines. It used to be 6 weeks. I feel like now it's 8.
Okay.
Okay. But you need to have the boosters every 3 to 4 weeks. That's what matters.
Yeah.
We obviously want them to have their first one. And the thing is, in order for them to be covered, they need to have their first set of vaccine. And then 10 days later, they'll be covered because you have to build up the immunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to have the vaccines to continue 3 to 4 weeks after that up until they're 16 weeks.
Yeah.
And then what they're done is then you would go yearly. The thing is, talk to your vet about it. Make sure that you're on the right schedule.
Yeah, and it's definitely the schedule because from my understanding, the maternal antibodies that they get, right, mm-hmm. can mess with some of whatever the vaccine timing. So it needs to be very specific. You can't go like 6 weeks in between.
No, and it's also about the companies that make the vaccines have done the studies.
Right.
And they stay in the body up until 4 weeks and then they start to see the decline. Right. So that's why that they're recommending that schedule.
Yeah. So I think that's really important. And that is, to me, more important than saying, oh, I need to wait until my puppy has had 3 sets. It's, you know, as long as my puppy is on schedule, I'm going to go, you know, 10 days later.
So we're saying vaccines are important, but socialization is important as well. And we're hoping, you know, to work through the two of them. All right. What else we got in this?
So I think the last thing I wanted to talk about was biting.
Okay.
Because we always, always, always go, my puppy, we hear my puppy's aggressive. And I would say I've maybe in my 10 years of doing this have met one puppy that I can think of that
was truly
aggressively biting. And I also remember when I got Pebbles, who is my bulldog, when I was 18, I remember emailing the breeder and saying, she's aggressive. I need you to take her back, right? Yeah. And the breeder came over and talked to me about puppy biting and whatever. But so why don't we talk about why puppies bite?
Why? That's definitely a big question. First of all, is puppies explore things with their mouths,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's why they pick up everything.
Everything.
Everything. And put in their mouth. So do kids, by the way.
Yeah.
So they explore things, but we want to teach them that when they put our mouths on us, that they need to learn to be a little bit more gentle. I find a lot of people, I don't want to say blame it on or suggest that it's just because of teething.
Yes.
Technically, for me, teething doesn't necessarily start until 4 months, because that's when they're starting to lose their teeth. Between 4 months and then 6 months, they ideally have a full adult month of teeth. Mouth of tea. So I don't really think at, 8, 10, 12 weeks that it's not necessarily a teething thing. I think it's just the fascination with putting things in their mouth. So that's when, she's going to go for
the demo.
She's going to demo. But again, we talked about great different mental stimulation products and tools, but then also different toys and bones and stuff that can be chewing to redirect that need to want to have something in their mouth. So I don't want you to discipline it, but what it is redirecting and say, hey, chew on this. Mm-hmm. And then what we try to do is reward the puppy for being gentle with us or not even necessarily having the mouth on us. But it's just natural, because if you actually notice litters, I know I'm on a roll here, litters of puppies, when they're too rough with one another, like they'll yelp a little bit
or they'll disengage.
I disengage, exactly. Yeah. So it is important, like they do teach one another that as well. But unfortunately, then they come into the house with us and they're sort of trying that. So it's us teaching.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I usually say in my puppy class is we need to teach the puppy how to play with us, right? We need to compromise. Yeah. So one of the ways that I do that is by getting a really long toy. So this is just, this is actually a recycled climbing rope from one of the local companies. And I make sure that I have a long piece so that they're not biting on my hand by accident.
Right, because they do redirect their mouth. So when you have something long, by no means do I think they have the intention to want to bite you. I think they just can't sort of figure out where the toy is.
Yeah, and it needs to be a toy that they want to play with too. So if it's teaching them how to play, that's one thing. I think there's other reasons why puppies bite, which is also outlined in Puppy 101 ebook, but they could be tired, they could be hungry, they could have to pee.
Okay, so let's say, I usually say super mouthy puppies are tired.
Yes.
They need a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah, puppies need naps like babies need naps.
Like 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even 20 minutes.
It's a lot of sleep.
They come out and they're just fresh. But a lot of people, unfortunately, wait till the puppies pass out themselves. Sometimes they just need to be gently encouraged that they need to go for a nap. And then we give one of those stimulation toys. They chew it for 2 minutes and they're asleep.
In the puppy area.
Right? In the puppy safe area.
Yeah. So I know there's so much that we could cover. We could talk about puppies forever. But we do have Puppy Play School, our 4-week course. And it starts every 4 weeks because we don't want to miss that socialization period, which we've talked about.
Right.
So that's on our website.
But then we continue the handling and, talk not necessarily about mouthing, but we talk about, getting your dog comfortable with being touched. And we address some of those mouthing issues as well in the beginning with basics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also, we have handouts on a lot of these things too. Like if we get a question about potty training, we have a handout for that. And we go over lots of different puppy issues in Puppy Play School. It's not so much a training class, right? We do a little bit of sit and down and that stuff, but it's more
socialization. You know. It's definitely talking to the owners and making them understand. And it's actually a lot of prevention. Let's say that.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's a good option if you are in Thunder Bay, or if you're not, then we can also, you know, help you look for a trainer in your area if you like. And I think for me, I covered everything I want to cover. Do you have any closing remarks?
Closing remarks. Basically, what I would say is it's a very small time frame mm-hmm. in the puppy's life, right? Because we hope to have them, you know, 12, 14, 16 years, depending upon the breed. But just take it day by day, mm-hmm. right? Because I know it can be overwhelming, but that's the time where you're bonding and building a relationship. And there's, you know, definitely things out there, and don't ever hesitate, you know, to reach out. And then, because then, you know, you're roller coastering into adolescence. And
yes, which is, we do have an episode coming on adolescence.
And we're bringing in an expert.
We are.
And then that's another stage. But remember that, you know, our lifespan is 80 some years, and theirs is more like 14 to 16. So some things happen a little quicker and don't last as long. So just, you
enjoy
know,
it.
Enjoy it, puppy. But get the information. There we go.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time.